Welcome to Venango County Tea Party Patriots audio interview with the candidates. These interviews are provided as a service to those who want to be informed and educated voters. Venango County Tea Party Patriots is an affiliate of the National Tea Party Patriots, a grassroots organization of voters interested in protecting our Constitution and keeping elected officials accountable to their oath of office. Local meetings are held on the fourth Saturday of every month at 9 a.m. unless otherwise noted in the newspaper or on our email list. If you consider yourself a patriot and would like to be a part of this group, you can email Jane at vcTPP.org. That's Jane at vcTPP.org or call 814-671-7110. That's 814-671-7110. And now to our interview.
Our guest today is Congressman Glenn Thompson, who is running for the position of Congressman for the 5th District of Pennsylvania. Thank you, Congressman Thompson, for being with us today.
Well, no, Jane, thank you so much for the opportunity to join you.
Well, we are glad to do it. We'll get started with our interview questions that a lot of the Tea Party is interested in your opinions on. First of all, tell us a little bit about your qualifications for the position of congressman. I know you're an incumbent, but why do you want to continue in that position?
Well, Jim, my background actually, this is not my career, what I'm doing now. This is public service. My career actually... I had worked 28 years serving individuals facing life-changing disease and disability, involved in my community, my church, a scoutmaster, firefighter, EMT. Those are the things that really shaped, and of course, a husband and a father of three sons. I probably have two grandsons today. Those are the things that shaped who I am, and I really shaped who I am as a public servant. So my qualifications, those are the things that have prepared me. Now, I've been in this position for just four terms. I've served, it's been a privilege and honor to serve and to work for the citizens of the Pennsylvania 5th Congressional District. My focus has been on serving the nation and really focus on making America safe, free, and prosperous. Part of my qualifications, I think, really has to be based on my record of having delivered responsive constituent services. Those are so important. I mean, there's so much that people get frustrated with the federal government, and they need a representative. And of all the titles, that's my favorite because it really truly communicates a relationship, and I work hard at that, of being there for each and every citizen that I work for, to be able to be their advocate, to be able to help them when they run into problems, whether it's Social Security or the Veterans Administration or anything that falls within the jurisdiction of the federal government. And then, of course, just a strong record of conservative outcomes I've delivered on. I've helped to lead the repealing of No Child Left Behind and Common Core, really helped to lay the pavement for good tax reform, for simplification. A leader in agriculture, which is our number one industry in Pennsylvania. I'm an agriculture chairman. And really took substantial moves of moving us away from a subsidy-type program with agriculture to more risk management, more free market. Certainly one of the things I always cherish the ability to do is to stand for the yet-to-be-born and the unborn. Promoting, keeping government out of the way for the production of the resources God's blessed us with, oil and gas. I'm honored with the fact that we have reduced discretionary spending in Congress. Most folks wouldn't know that based on what's reported in the media, but the discretionary budget now is lower than before Barack Obama was elected. And so, those are a few of the things of why I hope speak to my qualifications. Those are not promises. Those are things that I have delivered on, and I look forward to continue to work on those types of needed conservative solutions.
Okay, very good. And what are some of the organizations that are endorsing you for the position?
Well, you know, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, National Federation of Independent Businesses, which is really special to me. I grew up in a small family business, and quite frankly, our small businesses are the backbone of our nation in terms of our jobs. National Right to Life, always honored to have that that endorsement. The Pennsylvania Rural Electric Cooperatives, who are two great citizen organizations that are really looking for all the above solutions for energy. This past year, I was because of my work in eliminating No Child Left Behind and eliminating the Common Core mandate, but also putting forward a career and technical education bill that passed, to really take the bias off of career and tech ed, to elevate that on par with levels of all other types of education. I received the National Rural Education Association Member of the Year, National Award. Always NRA A-rated. Those are just the few of the folks that I'm very appreciative have recognized my work and have supported me.
Well, we get into some issue questions here that people are interested in. The topic of term limits comes up. Our founders envisioned a legislature of citizen legislators like yourself who would serve no more than a few terms and then return to their previous lives. Would you work to pass or ratify a constitutional amendment establishing term limits for Congress?
Well, I would certainly look at that issue, and I have. I actually stand with the Constitution at this point. I don't believe there's much that our founders were so wise. I mean, God bless them with so much discernment and so much vision. And they didn't want term limits. In fact, if you look in the writings of some of the founders, one of them described, they said this, that re-election should be a reward for good behavior. And so I'm actually not sure that the founders wanted. Now, I know that the founders only served just a few years, but the situation at the time, they actually moved on to vacuums, new positions of leadership that were necessary and created. Many went on to be president, many went to Secretary of State, one was a Secretary of the Treasury. And so one of the things that concerns me, I will share with you about term limits that I have found, my observation here, is that if you had strict term limits, that the fact that you would yield all the power to the unelected staff, because that's where the institutional knowledge would be. And there are some days where I believe the staff have too much power and influence as it is. Mm-hmm. And I do have a concern that with strict term limits, that would happen. You know, he wasn't a founder, but obviously the son of a founder, John Quincy Adams, after he served for president, went on to served 17 years in the United States House of Representatives. And although he died on the House floor before he could realize his quest, he worked for 17 years to end slavery. He undeniably is the most influential person of ending that terrible legacy we had of slavery. And I'm not sure we would have accomplished that if John Quincy Adams hadn't served a little longer than what perhaps we would consider for term limits. But when you're elected, you're only elected for 2 years in the House of Representatives. That's the way the founders wanted it, and I think that's very accountable. It makes it the people's house. But then the people decide when it comes to re-election time, and you're starting all over again at that point. And I will say, when I first came here, my seniority was 433 out of 435, and there were two vacancies. Today, my seniority is like probably around less than 210. That's just how much turnover actually happens in the House of Representatives, and that is decided by the citizens, by the people. I think that's the way the founders intended it.
Well, that's a good perspective for us to consider. Okay, on to a topic of Obamacare. Would you sign a bill that repeals it in its entirety, the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act?
Oh, I already have. I have voted to repeal what I think has really ruined our health care system, probably in excess of 60 times at this point. Mm-hmm. I've co-sponsored, I've voted for. We actually put it on the president's desk at least once, and he vetoed it. We unfortunately did not, because of the Democrats, we in the House and the Senate, we did not have the votes to override the president's veto with the repeal of the Patient Protection Affordable Care Act. And I'll continue to do that. When you look at what it has done, the escalating costs, the mandate, making people pay for things in their insurance. And my wife and I in that situation, we were mandated to go be some of the first people into the Obamacare exchange. And we're paying for things that just morally we just reject. We can't support, and yet we're forced to premiums we make, which are higher than ever, to pay for those types of things. Higher cost, less access. We're losing manufacturers of durable medical equipment overseas. We're seeing the collapse of merging of hospital systems, doctors' practices, even health insurance companies. So we're creating monopolies, which tend to always decrease quality and increase cost. You better believe I stand behind repealing this. It's time for a fresh start that actually respects the individual's decision making when it comes to healthcare. It also takes measures to reduce healthcare costs and once again increase access.
All right. Now, in under education, we have some questions. You've been very influential in the Common Core issue. Do you believe the federal government should use federal funding to get states to adopt Common Core standards? And if not, to what end would you work to breaking the connection between the allocation of federal education funds and the implementation of Common Core standards?
Yeah, I absolutely do not believe the federal government. I think it's illegal that the federal government would use and let me be specific here, the executive branch, the president, and that's where it was using federal funding bribes, basically, to get our school districts, who are, hungry for money, I get that part, to adopt the Common Core standards. And so I would not support the federal government doing that. Not only have I have not supported that, I did something about it. We actually, when in December, a bill that parts of it I helped to write, the Every Student Succeeds Act, ended that practice. We made it illegal for the president. Well, we reinforced the fact that it was illegal, because it is illegal for the federal government to dictate curriculum in any way to the states. That is clearly the rule, and the president circumvented this with using grant monies as a bribe. But with the Every Student Succeeds Act, we repealed already Common Core. Now the Common Core battle has to happen on a state level and state legislatures, but there is no longer, as of December, no longer a mandate from the federal government in any way for Common Core to be implemented within our school districts and our school. And so our states and schools certainly have the right to withdraw from that.
Okay, that was as of last December?
Yes, December of 2015, okay. When the Every Student Succeeds Act, the acronym we use is ESSA, that was what repealed No Child Left Behind. I'm proud of that bill, because it was a historical reduction of the authority of Washington and the U.S. Secretary of Education, putting that power and decision-making back to the states, the school districts, and in many circumstances, especially with things that I offered, to the parents. In terms of decision-making for education.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for that. We appreciate that. We have some questions on tax reform. The Tea Party believes that the tax code is far too complex and needs to be reformed so that taxes are lower, flatter, fairer, and simpler. Will you commit to working to enact a tax reform plan that will make that tax code simpler, flatter, and fairer?
Absolutely. In fact, the Republicans just published, we put our plan out, we've been working on it. It's called Better.GOP, and within that, one of those planks is exactly what you described, what the Tea Party, I believe, supports, of making our tax system simpler and providing so it's lower, flatter, fair, and simpler. We took actions on that again last December. The first actions we took in probably decades was last in December of 2015, when we provided some permanency or certainty to certain deductions. These were always the deductions for those who were opposed to making the tax code simpler. They would hold those ransom. And the fact that we provided certainty and permanency on those really lays the pathway now to get this tax reform done. I've always co-sponsored good fiscal policy like balanced budgets, bills, and certainly simplification, more fair tax. And I think with some confidence, well, we have to have a good election, obviously, in the Senate and the White House is just, I just can't say how important that is. Mm-hmm. But we could get this done in the year to come.
Well, as you've probably been reading, the Tea Party's been quite involved in pushing for the impeachment of the IRS commissioner for stonewalling congressional investigation into the IRS targeting of Americans for their political beliefs. Do you support that impeachment?
I do. I do. I really like the way that the Tea Party has, and you have laid this out. I don't think I would have supported it for holding, obviously, this IRS commissioner responsible for Lois Lerner and the whole targeting of they did of conservative groups and certain Jewish groups, because he wasn't there at the time. He didn't even work at the IRS the same time that Lois Lerner did. But for the stonewalling, absolutely, and that's why this investigation, this hearing that we just held earlier this week, really brought to light the stonewalling and, of being unresponsive to the congressional requirements, being unresponsive to providing documentation in the investigation. You know, the IRS commissioner does have some accountability to Congress. That's our founders laid it out that way with checks and balances. We have oversight functions over these executive branch agencies. And this commissioner, although he certainly, I don't think, bears any responsibility for the actual targeting that took place, the stonewalling is a significant issue. And we cannot have these agency leaders, such as the IRS commissioner, refusing to respond fully and appropriately and transparently to congressional requests for information when it's such a serious investigation.
Thank you for your support there. A question on immigration now. Our immigration laws are not being enforced to prevent overstays and illegal entry. So what will you do to shore up enforcement of these laws on the border and regarding the biometric entry-exit visa system?
Our legal immigration system is broken. It needs to be, because we do have people who do come here, whether it's on a tourist visa, whether it's an educational visa, whether it's a business visa of some type, and they overstay. We need enforcement, and enforcement is important. You only really have to enforce the first so many, and then people will get the message. It will be a deterrent for others from breaking our laws and overextending their stays illegally. And so enforcement is important. This is an issue that, I'm proud to say that I have supported, and we have more. On the illegal immigration side, we have more Border Patrol agents than any time in history. We've invested more money over the past number of years into construction of the fence, of drone technology to monitor the border. I've actually spent time with the Border Patrol when I was speaking to officers and enlisted members of the Army down at Fort Huachuca in Arizona. We have problems with both the legal and the illegal immigration that deserves our attention. Like I said, we have worked on some of that. We've accomplished some things, but we have a long ways to go. I do believe that one of the first duties and responsibilities, of one of the first principles, I guess, of American leadership is the safety and security of our families. And so you had mentioned some great technology that I think that, you know, God blessed us with this technology. Why wouldn't we use it? The biometric process, so that we really do need to affirm that people are who they say they are. In this day when ISIS has publicly acknowledged that they will use refugee programs and immigration programs and any other way they can to infiltrate countries such as ours to do harm and to bring terrorism into our towns and cities, you know, you better believe that we need to tighten that up and make sure that we're doing it right.
All right. And my last question here is, of course, coming from Pennsylvania, you'll understand why we're interested in whether you would support more restrictive gun laws than the existing background checks.
Not necessary. Our gun laws that we have are sufficient. We do need, they need to implement them. They're just like the immigration laws. You know, it was my concern at one time, this is probably 2 years ago, that the Obama administration was going to shut down the background check system, claiming, you know, they didn't have enough money because of how we've reduced their discretionary budgets so dramatically over the past, over the past 6 years. And so I did support making sure that the folks who do those background checks under the current law had the proper funding. Because I could just see that coming. That was going to be their excuse. And what would have happened if they shut down the background checks, I mean, that would have been a backdoor way of shutting down the sales of firearms in our nation. No, I don't support any additional. We have an issue with three things in this country that, and I've been working on all three of these. Our Second Amendment gets blamed, is what gets blamed, but for some of the issues, the problems, you know, the significant incidents, you know, where we have mass incidents where folks are either shot, most recently it was folks who were stabbed. But the problem is with mental health needs. And I co-sponsor on a bill with Dr. Tim Murphy to really reform our mental health system, a system that has been broken. We have so many people that have significant mental health issues that are just going unmet. Secondly, it's the violence, especially in our cities. And we see that, I think, reflected in on the news in some of these cities of how this unlawful behavior that happens as a result of something that goes wrong or something that occurs, that culture of violence, I mean, that's really unacceptable in our nation. We need to figure that one out. And finally, terrorism. I mean, unfortunately, all too many of the incidents where they right away someone starts to say, okay, hey, we got to take all the guns off the streets. We need a registry. We need to, you know, we need more background checks. We need this. We can't allow certain size of calibers of guns. We can't allow certain, you know, size of clips. When so many of those today have, unfortunately, an alarming number, has been as a result of folks that have proven to be terrorists who have infiltrated our country in one way or another. So we have some issues we need to address, but it's not restricting the Bill of Rights. It's dealing with, and I think specifically those three areas would go a long ways of making us all safer if we did a better job on mental health. We did a better job of somehow changing this culture of violence that we see emerging in different parts of our country. And finally, we owe it to our citizens to prevent these folks from coming into our country who are coming here as terrorists with one intent, and that is to take innocent lives and to do harm and create terror.
Thank you so much again for taking this time. I'd like to give you a minute or two here to do a wrap-up. Anything you'd like to say to our audience before we...
Well, I just want to say thank you to all the folks that I work for. You know, that's more than 730,000 men, women, children in 16 counties, 24% of the landmass of Pennsylvania. And you should be very proud, because I've never been one who have claimed to... I'm not here to bring Washington home. Quite frankly, you wouldn't want it here. But my commitment has been to take your concerns, your needs, your issues, your challenges, and most importantly, your solutions, what I like to call our homegrown solutions to Washington, to where we can, and these are conservative-based solutions. And so I want to thank all of the listeners, because they and others just like them, many of the things I talked about that I've been able to lead in accomplishing for our nation, those solutions have been homegrown solutions. They've come originally from the people that I work for. And so that's just been very much a privilege and an honor to be able to do that. And I hope that everyone votes on November 8th. I think that There are a lot of men and women who paid the ultimate sacrifice and died to earn us that right to do that, and have died to preserve that right. And if there's no other reason to vote, it should be to pay respect to those American heroes. And if you're going to vote, I appreciate you keeping me in mind.
Okay, well, we wish you Godspeed, and thank you again.
All right, take care.
All right, thanks so much.
You have been listening to the Venango County Tea Party Patriots audio interviews with the candidates. We encourage all voters to vote. Every election is important. It is a patriot's duty to exercise this right. Thank you for taking time to be an informed voter. Please continue to check our website at www.vctpp.org for more educational resources.